Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, the 28th of March, and our top story today is that more details have emerged about the death of a two-year-old girl from Gravesend after a couple were charged with her murder. Lucy has the latest for the podcast.
A man and woman were due to appear at Maidstone Crown Court today, but the hearing was adjourned because of a technical issue. However, we did hear the toddler had suffered historical and recent fractures when she was taken to hospital in Gravesend in May 2020. That was a couple of months into the first COVID lockdown. She died in a London hospital 2 days later. 32-year-old Yan Ghulami and 31-year-old Rokia Ghulami, neither of whom have a permanent address, are also accused of causing or allowing the death of a child and child neglect. They've been remanded in custody and should be in court on Friday.
Kent Online News.
This is one of our most read stories on the site today. A couple who used their life savings for a deposit on a new built house in Herne Bay say it's turned out to be a disaster. Alex and Dorina Marku moved into the £350,000 property last summer. Within days, they'd found dozens of faults, and 7 months on, they say issues at Bay Square still haven't been fixed. Well, Alex has been telling the podcast exactly what's happened since they moved in.
We moved in on Monday. We met the site manager, who actually said to us, oh, take it easy, leave for a few months and then provide me the list with the defects and we'll be dealing with. We've actually completed the list in the first week and we had more than 100 something snags. We've made it really clear, the description with photos as well, so they can understand it. And since then has been a nightmare and a disappointment. The house, we ended up with so many issues in the house. There is a wind blowing through all the windows. I think not a single window is fit for purpose. The main door on the ground floor, the entrance door, is not fit for purpose as well. You can literally see the light outside. So if it's windy, you can literally feel the wind inside the house. The floor is not straight. Floor is coming off on the ground floor. Floor is coming off in the living room as well, by the kitchen. Second day when we moved in, it was a rainy night and quite windy as well. We waked up with a leak in the living room. It was raining through the extractor. A few days after, again, the same leak from the extractor. The developer just said, we will be dealing and don't stress about it. We'll be painting, we'll be changing the floor. I haven't heard anything about that anymore. It's so distressing. Then we ended up that the water pressure, it's so bad in the house. We were like, probably it's from the street. We called Southeast Water. They checked the pressure. It's going up to 3 bar in the house. But if you try to even have a shower, it's almost impossible to use it because there's not enough pressure. I'm not talking even about the second floor. If you're trying to have a bath or even use the sink, it's almost impossible because there's no water reaching up the top level. Again, we reported to the developer. We haven't heard anything from them. Literally, they're just ignoring us. So instead of having a really great experience and enjoying the house, it has been 7 months of nightmare. Stress. Even the relation with my wife is not the same because we're always arguing about this.
You can also see video of some of the problems Alex described there within the story at Kent Online. Developers Guildmore Limited have given us this statement.
As a builder of new homes, we take comments such as these incredibly seriously. We are well aware of our obligation as a developer to quickly respond to any unforeseen issues with the homes we build and have an in-house maintenance team who deal with any problems. We have addressed the vast majority of issues raised by Mr. Marku and are currently liaising with the manufacturers in order to rectify the outstanding issues. Guildmore have a long and proud reputation as a builder of quality homes. times and aim to maintain that reputation.
A lorry driver has been jailed after a crash near Merriworth left a mum and her daughter with life-changing injuries. The car they were in was hit by an HGV, which had veered onto the wrong side of Seven Mile Lane in July 2021. 42-year-old Sergei Mikhailovs from Fulmer Road in Stroud admitted causing serious injury by dangerous driving and was locked up for 22 months. A couple have appeared in court over the death of a motorcyclist in a crash in Sittingbourne. Ryan Rudden from Whitstable was riding along Swale Way when his bike was hit by a car in May 2021. 34-year-old Stuart Powell from Miller Close in Kemsley has been charged with several offences, including having no licence or insurance. His wife Carly, who's 36, is accused of perverting the course of justice. A man's appeared in court charged with theft, dangerous driving and possessing a knife after a suspected stolen vehicle was spotted in Dartford. The car failed to stop for officers but was later seen in Lowfield Street, where two people were arrested. A 24-year-old is due at Crown Court next month and a teenage boy is out on bail. Orlando Bloom has praised the strength of the Ukrainian people during a visit to the war-torn country. The Canterbury actor is a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador and has been meeting with President Zelensky. In a video posted on Instagram, he describes it as an honour and says the Ukrainian people are awe-inspiring.
And of course, you know, your messaging is the reason for that. So it's remarkable to see how you are, you know, holding this country and
we all, we have a good country.
Well,
we hold each other.
Yes.
Kent Online reports.
Plans to crack down on antisocial behaviour in England and Wales have been officially unveiled. The Prime Minister says there'll be more police patrols and offenders will be made to repair damage within 48 hours. They could also have to wear jumpsuits or high-vis jackets. Authorities will also be given extra cash to help so-called nuisance beggars find accommodation and mental health support. Chatham and Aylesford MP Tracy Crouch spoke during a debate on it in the Commons last night.
Over the past year, residents across Chatham and Aylesford have suffered repetitive instances of antisocial behaviour involving noise nuisance from cars and bikes and unauthorised access to private lakes by large groups of children. The local councils have had to go through lengthy processes to establish PSPOs to tackle these issues, which have left residents at their wit's end while the bureaucracy slowly cranks away. Can the Home Secretary confirm that the announcement today will make it a lot simpler for the authorities to clamp down on this type of antisocial behaviour so that it can be dealt with there and then, rather than waiting for months for consultations and paperwork to be completed?
Yeah. Home Secretary.
Well, I want to thank my right honourable friend for all of the work that she and her local team and councillors have led in challenging and stopping antisocial behaviour locally. But she's absolutely right. What we've identified is it's become onerous, it's become inefficient, it's become too time-consuming to secure these really effective orders, and this is exactly what the consultation will do. It will aim to streamline and speed up the acquisition of a PSPO, which can really make the difference between an area blighted by antisocial behaviour and an area which is free and safe and pleasant to frequent.
Two empty restaurants in Maidstone have been put on the market. The former Burger King and Frankie and Benny's sites are at the Lockmeadow Entertainment Complex. The council say an exciting new tenant is being lined up for the fast food site, and the Italian eatery could be turned into a bar, cafe or even soft play. Plans for a new GP surgery in Dover have been given the go-ahead, despite concerns about noise and light pollution. We mentioned this in the podcast last week, and the Whitfield Medical Centre will serve about 15,000 patients. Some residents were worried, though, about the amount of traffic it'll cause. The people behind it say the facility's needed because of all the new housing being built in the area. Bosses at a busy bar in Dover, meantime, are hoping to extend their opening hours and reckon they can stop any potential trouble at the door. An application has been lodged to allow the sale of alcohol at Rhino and Balls in King Street to go until 3am at weekends. It comes just weeks after nearby Attic Bar had to cut back on their extra hours after reports of a fray. But the owners of Rhino and Balls say they will have two doormen to keep the wrong people out.
Kent Online reports.
The owner of a Medway company says he's no longer going to pitch for business in London because of the cost of paying the ultra-low emission zone charge. Lee Murthwaite provides sound equipment for events but has to pay every time he drives into the capital because he has an older vehicle. Now, the Medway Sounds boss says the government should be looking at other alternatives rather than taxing people. He's been speaking to Sophia Aiken from our colleagues at KMTV.
We predominantly pitch our business into London, inside the North and South Circular. We work in hotels, radio stations, do weddings, things like that for sound systems and event production. And the St. Julius has been introduced, obviously it's impacted our margins. And the more work we do in London, the more Julius we're paying. More often than not, we're in London past midnight, so each job means we're paying for Julius in and Julius out. And now with the expansion of the Julius zone, you know, that's just taken up quite a considerable larger area that we ordinarily cover. So we've taken a business decision to move our business away from London, outside the M25, honouring the work we've still got booked into London, but not accepting any new bookings, as it were, and moving our business into the home counties, so we're pitching elsewhere.
Quite a large majority of your clients are from London, so how much roughly would you say?
I would say for our external business, 70% of our business was within the M25. And I'd say probably 50% of that within the North and South Circular. So with the expansion, obviously you can see, you know, 70% of our actual business would have been or has been impacted. Fortunately, we've been able to move it, but, you know, that's where we pitched, that's where we built up our, spent a long time building our customer base. And, yeah, we've had to, in some ways, we kind of feel like we're turning our backs on them, but, you know, margins are tight.
So how has sort of seeing 70% of your clients go, how's it actually impacted your business?
It's been tough. It has been tough because we've had to take a hit and regroup and start to remarket and push ourselves out into the home county. So we did have a good while where bookings for our sound systems and our event production just went down, not to zero because we've always had local business, but it did take a significant hit. For a while. So, I mean, fortunately, we've got the business for the rest of the studio coming through, which has kept us going. And that was questionable for a while as well. But things have gathered now. But I'd say we had a good 12 months where, you know, we were kind of wondering, have we made the right decision? You know, when is business going to pick up? So we did have a fairly significant hit, which we're recovering from. But I think it's a worthy decision because it's not just the cost of paying the Julius charge. There's, you know, things like we need to upgrade our vehicles and things like that. You know, there's a significant cost for that as well. So that's the cost that people don't see. So I think in the long run, we've made the right decision. We've recovered, but it did take quite some time.
And how much would you sort of say financially that impacted you, seeing that 70% of clients go?
Well, put it this way, one job, I suppose, one sound system install could pay the rent for this building for the month. So if we were losing, as it were, 70% of that work, then obviously the impact to us is quite big. We had to reinvest in the business from a personal perspective at some point during last year, which obviously, you know, it was to us a worthwhile thing to do. What we should have done really was maybe pitched wider in the first place, you know, but we kind of, because we're so close to London, that's where we kind of pitched all of our business.
You may well be aware the Julez zone will be expanding to cover areas including Bromley and Bexley from this summer. Council bosses in Ashford are set to sign off on a £50 million loan to develop a film studio that's been linked with Netflix, Amazon and HBO. The cash will be used to help build the facility at the derelict Newtown Railway Works, not far from the designer outlet. When completed, there'll be four studios, a hotel, hundreds of flats and shops. We're told it could open in 2025. A major road in Margate's going to be closed for the next 3 weeks for emergency gas repairs. Engineers discovered a leak on Ramsgate Road, not far from the QEQM hospital, at a point where teams were previously upgrading the network. It's shut in both directions between Salmerston Road and St Augustine's Avenue while pipes are replaced.
Kent Online News.
A Medway mum says she hopes to transform a pub into a community hub to help tackle loneliness and isolation. Jane Brownlow is transforming the Prince's Park pub in Chatham after managing to raise enough money to buy the lease. The 42-year-old says she wants it to become the heart of the local area.
The pub used to not be the most inviting place to come to. You used to open the door, it used to have sticky carpets and stuff, and I want to change that completely. I want it to be a place where people can come and not be lonely anymore, because people just not having anyone to turn to or anyone just to have a game of cards with is really sad. And I just want to give everyone that back or get everyone to help each other out. You know, if someone needs their shopping taken home, hopefully we can help out with that. Or if someone needs something picking up from a mile down the road, hopefully we'll have someone that can do that for them as well. Just getting everyone together. My plans are to try and bring our community back together and make it like a community pub hub. I'm going to have a separate stay and play area as well. We're going to provide food and just to bring the community back together and have a lot here for everyone, really. Like in the evenings, we'll have card games and board games and different event nights and stuff. And in the daytime, we've got the stay and play and cafe. So hopefully something for everyone, even if it's just coming in and grabbing a coffee.
Well, Jane is planning to do most of the work herself and it's due to open next month. Passenger flights are going to return from a Kent airport this summer. Air Alderney are set to run services from Lyd to destinations including Le Touquet in northern France. Head to Kent Online today to see a picture of Jade from Little Mix, who's been spotted at a Kent restaurant with her boyfriend Jordan from Rizzle Kicks. They took their dogs into the old post office in Margate and posed for a picture with some of the staff. And Tracy Emin has announced she wants to buy an old bathing house on Margate Beach and turn it into a facility for swimmers and surfers. The artist told a crowd that had gathered for the official opening of her new studios in the town about her plans for Westbrook.
If anybody knows Westbrook, they may know the Westbrook Pavilion that's down on the beach, that's going completely derelict now. There's some very nice work in Lewes there, I've got to add, thank you very much. It's a beautiful, beautiful, like, Art Deco-looking building. It's ginormous. I'm intending to put in a proposal to buy it. Yay! At a subsidised cost, may I add. And I plan to renovate it and make it into a swimming club, surfers club, hot showers for the winter swimmers, steam rooms, a cafe, a little really bijou restaurant, a sunbed for sunbathing on, and I want the surfers to stay there, the lifeguards to stay there, and I want everybody from Margate to be able to enjoy it and be proud of it. So I just thought I'd share that with the group now. Well, I thought we'd like to put some flats there or something. But anyway, let's see how it goes. This is better than I could have ever dreamt or ever imagined. When I grew up in Margate as a little girl, that was my library. The Sunday school was around the corner that I wasn't allowed to go to after I was followed home once. You know, Margate was such a different place. And I've always said to everybody, wherever the arts goes, commerce follows. Except this time, we got here first and we've nailed it. Margate is ours. It's our town. It's our creative mecca. And we're going to make it more creative and more available to creative people to live here. Yeah.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and the Gillingham boss has set a new target for his team as they look safe from the threat of relegation. Saturday's win over Carlisle United left the Gills 12 points above the drop zone with 8 games left to play. Neil Harris wants them to get over 50 points in total this season. They're currently on 44. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. You can also get an update of the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. And to do that, you just need to sign up by heading to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.